bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, as we look and continue to study the vision of Carmel United Methodist Church and how you call us to be church, may that message not just be about an entire church body, but may it speak to us individually as to the ways that individually we may grow and be a part of the church that you desire. In the name of Jesus, amen. It's a three-week series called Be the Church, as we take a look at the vision statement of Carmel United Methodist Church in three parts. Be the church are the words that God spoke to the early Christians. He spoke with them, he visited with them, and he said, now go and be the church. Maybe not in those exact same words, but I do know that Matthew, the disciple Matthew, did say that he did say be the church in this way, go into the world, baptizing in the name of the Father and to the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all of my commandments. And I am with you until the end of time. Be the church, he said to his believers. So when we know that's a commandment, then we pause as Carmel United Methodist Church and have a leadership group that pulls together and takes a look at what does that mean for this church in the heart of Carmel, to be the church that God desires. And so a vision statement was created. I'd like to invite us to share in the reading aloud of this vision statement. But before we do that, I'd also like to say to those who are guests with us for the first time, or maybe just aren't quite ready to call this church your church family, I then invite you to not feel pressed to profess aloud this statement, but instead perhaps listen to what it says. Because in listening, maybe you will better understand what we intend as we be the church. Will you share with me the reading of the statement? At Carmel United Methodist Church, we are connecting with God and others, growing in faith and love through biblical learning, and serving our community and world as disciples of Jesus Christ. For 3 weeks, we're taking a look at each week one of the key words in that statement, as those are words that guide us as we understand how to be church here in Carmel. The first key word we took a look at last week was connect, and we explored what it means to be connecting with God and others, as we heard from two of our own membership what that has meant in their lives and the difference that this church has made because of the connecting in their lives, as they were warmly embraced when they first came to visit here at the church, and then they continue to be supported and encouraged as they explored and connected with various ministries and meeting other folks and getting to know them better, and how all of that has led to them to connect in new and meaningful ways that they have grown in their relationship to Jesus Christ and in the way that they understand the biblical teachings of the church. So this week, we're going to take a look at that key word of grow as we consider growing in faith and love through biblical learning. The staff in planning ministry are very intentional as we take a look at this vision. We look at the word growing and what it means. And we do understand that there are two essential ways that all of us grow in our faith. Therefore, there are two ways that all of us need to be committing our time to, one or the other or both, so that we can grow in our faith. The first way is through the offerings of our Bible classes. We learn and grow in our faith as we study the Word of God. And we provide formats for that to happen, classes for that to happen. Sandra Andrews, as the Minister of Christian Education, has published a listing of all the courses that we offer starting this fall for everyone. And she took it an extra step to divide it to help us to understand what the offerings are into levels 101, 201, 301. And I want to just say a bit about that is that what that really says to us as we look at these classes is that 101, those are probably classes that maybe I'm just getting back and I haven't studied the scriptures for years and years and years. Those just might be classes that would be very helpful. Doesn't mean they're not important, they are very important. But it also says that maybe as I begin to get back into the study of the Word of God, we're also often challenged by the time it takes. So the beginning classes probably don't have as much homework as the classes that are of higher level, because as we grow in our level and our depth of understanding of the Word, as we dig deeper, it tends to call us to a deeper commitment also of time. So this class catalog was created for you. Also, Sandra has organized growth groups, again, for you. The difference being in classes that you take from the class catalog, those are short term. They follow the timing of the curriculum, and then the group is over. They meet for the purpose of that one course. With growth groups, they're ongoing. They meet in homes during the week. And yes, there's study involved in those growth groups also, but because they're ongoing, the relationships that are developed in the midst of those experiences are deeper and more ongoing. This isn't some crazy new idea to have growth groups. This actually reaches back into what John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, what he was a proponent of in his early days of developing the church, because he encouraged all believers to be involved in a home church group. Because he knew that he is one person, he couldn't be in all the communities all the time, so he wasn't going to be connecting with the persons and encouraging them to grow. So that happened in homes as people gathered together on a regular basis. Let me ask you a couple of rhetorical questions. In the summer, when you plant your vegetables or your flowers in the garden or in your yard, and if a drought comes, what happens to those plants if they're not watered? And then I wonder, maybe many of us have took a course in algebra, for example, when we were just children, and really maybe understood it, all the equations and the principles and all the work of that algebra. But 20 or 30 years go by, and algebra is not a part of our everyday life. And maybe that child of yours or grandchild of yours is in an algebra class and needs help with homework. How prepared are you then to help that child with their homework in algebra? You know what I'm saying? That all of us throughout our lives need to continue to grow and commit to that growth in studying God's Word. Maybe many were a part of Sunday school classes when we're young. But what happens as the years go on to that knowledge and that commitment if we don't continue to grow? That's why we've created the catalog, and that's why we have these growth groups. Again, these growth groups ideas are nothing new. You know who the first growth group was? It was the 12 disciples. Because they had this ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, they met at homes, they talked in their everyday setting. That was the original growth group. So when John Wesley came up with this concept, it wasn't a wild and crazy idea of his. He just looked back, and he realized what happened and what worked with the disciples. And he said, this needs to be foundational for the church. And so here we are now in the 21st century, and you know what we realize? We know what is foundational to be the church that is growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When the church leadership worked through and identified these words with each concept, we backed it up with a selected scripture. And this scripture was selected to remind us of the importance of growing. And it's from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Peter said to us, you must grow. And you have to keep growing, or you will stop growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And the beauty of everything in the midst of that is when we are growing, we're honoring and glorifying God, because that's exactly what God wants from each and every one of us. As a part of this series each week, we're asking two of our own members to speak to the topic, and this week is growing, obviously, and how growing has happened and how it continues to happen in their individual lives, because maybe that speaks to each of us individually as we can relate to them. So I'd like to introduce to you in this video members Laura Stickford and also Ben Eberhardt.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Good morning. My name is Ben Eberhardt. I have a wife and two kids, my wife Angie and my children Jack and Emma. We've been coming here to church for about 2.5-3 years now.
Hi, my name is Laura Stickford and I am married to Eric Stickford. We've been married for 25 years. We have three children, Mitch, Kira, and Mark. We have been members here for probably 15 years.
For all the love I've ever found.
One of the things we did, we always had the kids go to Sunday school, but we found that we had a lot of problems trying to explain or understand the stories that they were learning at Sunday school, because I'm sure like most of you, I don't remember 90% of the stories in the Bible off the top of my head. So one of the nice things that we got connected to was the adult class that we had here with Sandra, looking at the same lessons the kids were looking at in Sunday school, but with the adult group. So on one end, it was great because after class, I was able to talk to my kids about what they were doing. But also, we got to be kind of a real family group in that small group. Started to actually meet people, have connections at church, which was really nice.
Probably 10 to 15 years ago, both my husband Eric and I went on a walk to Emmaus. He went the weekend before me, and then I went, which was an amazing experience for both of us. I would say that definitely was kind of the beginning of my true walk. I mean, I grew up as in a small church in Michigan. It was Presbyterian, but there was no youth program, so kind of just went to church on Sunday, and that was kind of the end of it. So it was, Emmaus was amazing to have me see that there was so much more out there. So from there, started going to disciple classes, got involved in UMW, various things in the church. Probably one of the bigger things in the last years, and I don't know how many it's been, but involved with the youth program, had small groups in our home. The kids came to our house and, you know, had fun and did Bible study together. And then years later, when it was in the church, here kind of were hanging out in the basement and getting to know students when our kids were involved as well. So they always knew that that was something that was important to us. So I would assume that they're seeing that as, you know, an importance of our relationship with God, you know, reflects that on them.
One of the things that really stuck out to me after all the learnings I've done is there was a story talking about, right at the beginning, talking to Abraham, and God's talking about going out and the Israel being the chosen people and all that. Really, the message I got at the end looking at that was not so much that you're the chosen ones and you're the only ones I care about. It was more of, I'm giving you this information and I want you to go out and be spokesman for me. I want you to go out and show an example for everyone. And I kind of take that to heart where, you know, it's not supposed to be I'm the smartest or I'm the best or I can do this. It's about how can I have that, how can I show that image to the world where what they can follow.
I hope what we hear so far from Laura and Ben is how their heart has been changed and how they've grown personally, but also how that piece was important to them. As Laura said, they wanted to be modeling what they learn in their personal lives. But also Ben, in raising a family, realized that he couldn't be the spiritual leader of his family unless he really knew what he needed to be teaching as a Christian father. So they sought out these opportunities and have made time to connect. The class that Ben refers to that he and his wife attend on Sunday mornings, that they learn the teachings of the children that they're learning in their classes the same day. That class meets at 9:30 on Sunday. So they have the opportunity to be prepared to go home. Jesus told a parable, a story to help us to understand the importance of feeding our hearts and our minds on a regular basis so that we would be growing in the way that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, because it doesn't just happen naturally. We needed to be working at it, is what he wants us to know. So when he first talked about that concept in Matthew 13, he shared with the disciples and the listeners what he knew he had heard from prophets that had come before him. And this is what he shared that he knew from one of the prophets. You will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their heart and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly, I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So he quotes the prophets of old, and he basically to tell them that they needed to be paying attention, they needed to be learning so that they would grow in their faith. But Jesus knew the people then as he knows us today, and sometimes to really drive the point home, he tells a story, as he often would, as he tells a parable. So I want us to listen to this parable, because Jesus wants us to understand those words of the prophet of old. And so I share with you from Matthew 13. I'll begin a little bit before the scriptures that are projected. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." The soil that's referred to in this parable is the Word of God, and it's there. And it's just waiting for something to be planted in it. And it's waiting for our hearts and our minds to be planted in that soil. And the Bible studies and the growth groups that we're talking about, I like to think about them as miracle grow. You know, really just help to strengthen and to encourage that kind of growth. I'd like us to consider in this parable, there are four situations with seeds that are described. And I'd like us to consider those to be a reflection of our heart. And maybe each situation is not an expression of our entire heart, the way our entire heart exists, but just perhaps each of these illustrations is an expression of a piece of our heart or a piece of our life where we are. The first seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds ate them. I'd like to suggest that those seeds were representing hard-hearted listeners. Hard-hearted listeners. Maybe in not grasping at all what the word says to us, or maybe simply just not wanting to understand what the word says, or maybe just rejecting what the word says. But that is when the word falls on the footpath and it just goes away. The second seed was sown in shallow soil with rock. The seed that was grown there would sprout very quickly, but then it would die very quickly when the sun shone brightly on it, because the depth of the roots just weren't enough to sustain in those in the circumstance. So I'd like to say that that represents for us a shallow-hearted listener. Where in our hearts do we not have that kind of staying power, that kind of commitment to stay with studying the Word of God? You know, maybe we can be quick to believe, quick to receive, and quick to rejoice, but just don't stay the course with what it takes to continually grow and study. The third description there is seed that is sown among thorns, and it says that the thorns choked it out. I'd like to suggest that's a clutter-hearted listener. When our lives are so cluttered up, we're so focused on all the other clutter that we miss what can potentially happen. What does that clutter look like? I think we know what that clutter looks like. It looks like particularly all the things and the scheduling of things of this world that seem to be so pressing and so important, at least the world says it is, that we clutter our hearts and minds so there's no margin or space that any possibility for the Word of God to sprout in our lives. And finally, the last description of the last seed is that one that falls on fertile soil. And I'd like to suggest that that represents the parts of our lives and our hearts where we are a good-hearted listener. Because we hear the Word and we understand the Word and it bears fruit. In other words, we commit to studying and to growing in the ways that we can. It transforms, it changes our hearts, who we really are. And then we see it in our lives. I think Laura in the video said that nicely, in that, you know, she said early on in her time and her walk that she would be participating in these things, Bible studies and things, but really when she was out in the world, there was kind of a disconnect because she didn't share much about it or talk about it. So maybe someone who didn't know her well didn't even know that was a part of her life, but she found as she was continuing in her journey that she couldn't help but share where she'd been earlier in the day or what she had done that connected her life with Jesus Christ. So as we look at how do we be the church growing in Carmel, leadership has taken a look and commitment at how can we help people at all ages and stages of life. So I'd like to suggest that as we have planned, as I've mentioned, for adults, yes, we do have a course catalog. So there are courses out there for you to connect with. And yes, we are ready to start many new growth groups that are just waiting for you to make that phone call to connect with that growth groups. Those are the opportunities that we have for growth offered to adults. We're also concerned about the growth of our youth. And so, therefore, our youth on Sunday mornings are encouraged to come to worship on a Sunday morning and or to serve, whether in a Sunday school class or ushering or in liturgy, whatever ways. And again, an opportunity for them to grow and to serve in the church so that they grow in their faith and understanding worship. But they also have offered on Sunday night what they call intersect. And that is a further time for them to come back and to not only worship, but also that's when they hear their message. They hear the Word of God. That's when they get instruction. And then also, just as adults, youth are offered growth group opportunities. So we have youth that are meeting throughout the week in various homes or cafes, wherever they choose, committed to, again, growing in their discipleship as they grow, supporting and challenging one another in a small group. And finally, the children. We've made a few changes this year, and you guys are aware of it because the big change has impacted this worship service. As the leaders of children ministry and youth ministry, we work together and study and are in conversation with many other churches concerned about the condition of Christianity. And from the perspective of how are we growing these children so that they will continue to become growing disciples of Jesus Christ through their adulthood. And what we have seen because of the trends in the churches in the past is we've seen a disconnect, and that's why we address that this year with a few of changes that we make. And so I'll just walk a little bit in the past history. Years ago in the earlier church, this church included, families typically saw Sunday morning as at least a two-hour experience because they knew that they were here in church for an hour for worship as a family, and then they all, parents went to their Sunday school class, children and youth went to their Sunday school classes, so it was at least a two-hour experience for families in the earlier days of our church. History moves along and the culture and life changes, and suddenly what we experience is that families feel that they want to experience all of that in 1 hour. So coming to church in 1 hour means that for children, the children are to learn to worship and to get their Sunday school experience in 1 hour. And so it's continuing in that model and moving forward a little bit further. Here's what we've learned. As we look to try to understand sticky faith, how do we take the faith of children and make it stick so it carries them through to adults? And we've experienced a disconnect in society today. Because what happens is the children only being put into a Sunday school experience while parents now worship And then those children who have experienced Sunday school perhaps all of their life suddenly become an adult and suddenly think, maybe I need to come back to church, maybe I've been away for a while. And then when they come back to this church experience and they understand that they begin with worship, they don't even know what worship is. Because children haven't sat in worship and experienced worship with their families any longer. Children are shuffled away to a Sunday school experience that is important. But we've missed a whole component of developing our children for their adulthood. So therefore, we now have blended and bring the children in the early part of the service, and then they go to their Sunday school time so that they have that time. Hopefully then, this kind of experience becomes a glue so that as they get older and they become adults, they can know what worship is about. So that when they come into this space, they don't, hymns, what are those? Reading those words, that liturgy, what is that about? And what is the message about? So hopefully we provide an opportunity for a connection, for what the language we're using is sticky faith. I'd like you to watch with me the end of that video as Laura and Ben share.
Through study has been a big way that I have grown my faith and gotten closer to God, and study like various classes we've taken, but just by reading His Word and praying every day and connecting to Him at a certain time of the day. For me, it's great in the morning, but then I may do what I call prayer arrows through the day, and I shoot an arrow up of a prayer that, you know, I may need help with. It could be something silly. It could be, you know, someone's ill. But to me, doing those things on a constant or all the time helps me feel peaceful and maybe not get so caught up in things that can be crazy here on earth, and just helps you just to stay more restful, and it helps me be closer to God. It helps me see the heart of God.
The biggest thing about growing and continuing to grow is really understanding what that message is and what message you're given at what time. I've seen through my life that you're not always given the full picture of what God wants and what His plan is for you all at once. It's a step. It's a journey. It's a conversation. It's not just an answer. And to continue that conversation with God, it takes that continual growth. That continue to be active and listening to Him and engaging with Him and understanding what He wants to pull out of you and what He wants you to give the world.
Another kind of, I feel like, intentional thing that I've done in the last few years is if you see someone in the grocery store and they see you're buying something in particular or whatever it is, and they may ask, oh, you know, what are you doing? Are you having a party? And I may have said years ago, like, oh yeah, I'm just having a party, instead of telling them. Now I would say, oh, I'm having a Bible study at my house, or I can't, you know, meet a friend for lunch because I have, you know, something church related to do. Well, now I make sure that I intentionally tell them that. I feel like that, what if that's their only opportunity to hear about God in the week if you don't know where they are in their walk, if they're even on a walk. So since Emmaus, I would say, has been just the catalyst that kind of brought my walk and will continue to grow me and help me be closer to God. And had we not gotten that opportunity, or He had not put us in that position, I don't think the five of us would be where we are today. So it's such a amazing feeling to be, you know, have God be close to you, that you gotta do it.
In closing, I want to share with you something I read. It was written by John Ortberg, who is a well-known author and pastor. And he visited China on a missionary trip. And he said that while he was there, he met folks who were meeting in house churches. And he talked to, in particular, a house group that, because the house group had grown to 200 people, that it had to be shut down, was shut down by the government. And then he met a man who was Muslim who lived in one of the Western provinces that was predominantly Muslim. And the man converted to Christianity. And because he had made that conversion in his life, he was going to be disowned by his family for following Christ. So what I understood from what he said was it can be very difficult to be a Christian there. And so Ortberg felt that the challenge and the pain, he felt that when he was there. So he said to one group one night, he said he was going to be praying for them that it would become easier to be a Christian. But the people said, please don't let that be your prayer for us. Instead, please let your prayer be that we would get stronger and bolder and grow deeper in our faith in Jesus Christ. There are over 1.3 billion people in China, and not one of them becomes a Christian because it is convenient. And a researcher at Purdue University, as John Ortberg shared in this article, in his study showed that there are currently 80 million Christians in China today. And in 15 years, there will be 245 million, meaning that there will be more Christians in China than in any other world, in a country where they don't have the opportunities to grow so easily. So I just want to leave you with this thought. In America, in Carmel, at Carmel United Methodist Church, if we're offered the opportunity for Bible classes and we're offered the opportunity for growth groups, why don't we do it? Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we are truly blessed that we do have the opportunities to be here in your house, where we are offered so many opportunities to grow and to know you better. God, I don't know what you're speaking to every person here today, but my prayer is that every person here today hears you and responds to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.